Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverSports.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverSports.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assemble!
Here's what we got going on at DenverSports.com. Will Peterson writing, no news is good news when it comes to the Broncos' pursuit of a free agent quarterback. He's happy that they did not land Sam Darnold, that Sam Darnold chose the Vikings over the Broncos because, as Will writes, in theory, the backup bridge quarterback is already on the roster, and that's Jarrett Stidham. We don't need another Stidham-esque player to compete with Stidham. One is enough. No, the best strategy for the Broncos is to take a round one quarterback in next month's NFL draft.
Any one of them, right? Anyone.
Yes. Will is a... They're all the same. They all have the same value.
This is just ginger on ginger crime, by the way.
Boy, really?
Yeah.
Will's a ginger. Yeah.
Yeah. So is Darnold.
You think this is a ginger thing? I thought there would be ginger solidarity.
You would think, right? This is one ginger jumping on another.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Ginger or Marianne? Go.
Marianne.
Yeah, me too. He goes on to write, why create even more of a logjam for J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. to be
Come on, Will. Have you not learned anything?
To be the starter by adding another body to the QB room. Here's where he does make a point. And that's why I find the pursuit of Sam Darnold fascinating. Because if they had, let's say they had gotten Sam Darnold. Let's say he chose the Broncos. So what you're telling me is one of two scenarios is going to follow. One, it signals they're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round because, to Will's point, now you've got a Darnold, Stidham, first-round draft pick logjam. It makes no sense. Or the other scenario is that by getting a veteran quarterback like Darnold to go with Stidham, that Sean's sending a very clear message. He's not going to take a quarterback in the first round. He's going to take a football player or trade back and get more picks. So which one do you go with? The pursuit of, because I guess the third option is, yeah, he still wants to draft a quarterback in the first round. Darnold would be his backup, and Stidham would be cut. Those are your three alternatives. Those are your three options that come about from their interest in Sam Darnold. So pick one. What is it?
All right, what were my three options again?
Your three options. Now, this is with the idea that they get Sam Darnold.
Okay, they get Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm.
Then you got Darnold and Stidham. You're not drafting a first-round quarterback. You have Darnold. That makes Stidham expendable, and you can now draft a first-round quarterback with Darnold as your backup. Or the third option is you're just going to ride with Stidham and Darnold.
My whole time
not draft a quarterback.
Right, my whole time in this draft process, in this free agent process, I told you was they're going to get Darnold. They're going to make him an offer. They're going to go try to get Darnold, and then they're going to trade out of 12. Trade back and accumulate draft picks. So whether they got Bo Nix later in the draft or they waited the second or third round to pick a quarterback, I thought that's the direction they would go in. Obviously, Sam Darnold was coveted by other teams as well. He chose Minnesota. Understand why? Because it's Sin City with all the sins, right? Hockenson, Jefferson, Addison.
Yes.
Too many sins there.
Minnesota, the new Sin City.
That's right. Forget about the Vegas Raiders. It's Minnesota's Sin City. So that was what I thought they were going to do. Now, Mike, it's throwing a monkey wrench into everything for me.
Because you can't come up with a guy. Although you said the next guy you would pursue
Drew
is
Lock.
Drew Lock.
And then if you pursued Drew Lock, I would still use the quote-unquote trade back theory that I'm kind of adhering to.
It's one of two things. If they are serious about adding another veteran quarterback,
mm-hmm.
then it tells me they're either going to cut Stidham or they have no interest in drafting a quarterback in the first round. And they're going to ride with that quarterback in Stidham. Because it makes no sense whatsoever Will is right about this. It makes no sense to have a first-round quarterback, Stidham, and veteran quarterback fill in the blank. Makes no sense.
Makes perfect sense.
It makes zero sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Please explain how it makes sense.
Because
to have two veteran quarterbacks that are basically the same guy, well, with a quarterback that you draft in the first round is going to play almost immediately.
You wouldn't be taking somebody that you think is the same as Stidham. You'd be taking a guy that you think has the potential to be a starter and at least a bridge quarterback. Like, Stidham, like, you got to have a the way the structure of the structure of your roster is constructed, you can have that third emergency quarterback. So why wouldn't you have a third emergency quarterback that's actually played in Stidham? I don't understand.
Are you going to be off the Sean Payton bandwagon if Jarrett Stidham is starting week one?
No, I just don't think that makes that's not logical to me. I've based everything on logic so far, and so far I've been right.
You are illogical. Next, on the front page, Andrew Mason writes, so with no Sam Darnold, who's next? So here are some of the names. By the way, Zach Wilson is going to be dealt. Tyrod Taylor got signed as the backup to Aaron Rodgers. So
the Jets, yeah.
So Zach Wilson is out there.
Well, so I mean, will he be dealt or will he just be released?
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, he's going to be out there.
Yeah.
So Zach Wilson, you could, in theory, trade for Zach Wilson, trade for Sam Howell, trade for Justin Fields, or you could go out and sign Drew Locke. You could sign Mason Rudolph. You could sign Ryan Tannehill, Jameis Winston, Jimmy Garoppolo. Any of those names ring a bell for you?
I like the Tannehill. Jimmy Garoppolo, man, I would just be, you know who wouldn't miss a training camp practice? Yours truly.
You'd be at them all, huh?
Oh my gosh.
Just waiting for him to come off the field, take glorious. His helmet off.
Take his helmet off. He's just got
hair still perfectly.
Just perfect. Perfect quaff. Guy's beautiful.
You know, I've gotten into, I'm starting to watch Mad Men.
Yeah.
So I'm starting Mad Men from the start.
Okay.
I never got into it. I'm into it. I'm loving it. Loving it. But John Hamm, early John Hamm.
Oh, he's handsome.
Great. Garoppolo-esque.
Well, let's not go that far.
I'm not going that far.
No, you cannot go that far. John Hamm is a nice-looking man. But he's not fine like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Not fine. Jimmy Garoppolo is fine.
Oh,
huh?
My gosh, he's hot.
Wow.
Meow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, give me your top three choices out of that group that I just gave you.
Okay, Drew Lock.
Drew Lock's number one, huh?
Yep, he's one. Ryan Tannehill, or as John Gruden used to call him, Tanny Hill.
Okay.
Would be number two. And number three, Sam Howell.
Okay. You did a couple of Sam Howell games, didn't you?
I did a bunch of them, yeah.
What do you like, not like?
I didn't like the fact that he got sacked 70 times or whatever it was.
Well, now in that case, how many of those do you put on the offensive line?
I put them on the offensive coordinator more than I put them on the offensive line. So I didn't like that. I called a couple games where he played lights out. He was really, really good. And I think he's got potential, Mike. I think that if you put him in an offense where you run the football and I think he's got potential, man. And like he threw it an absolute ton. If you look at how much he threw it, like that offense to me was garbage. It was absolute garbage, especially with a young quarterback. What you did to that young quarterback, it just wasn't fair. But Sam Howell's got some skills. Now, he's not real tall, but he's got some skill set now. So that would be my three guys right there. But Sam Howell is young. I mean, Sam Howell's a young quarterback. I mean, he's got He really last year was his second year, but it's really like his rookie year because he played one game against the Cowboys in his rookie season. So Sam Howell can sling it, man. He can spin it. And he's a smart kid. He just, like I said, that offense did him no favors.
So I have no interest in Tannehill. I for where the Broncos are at right now, I don't want – Tannehill is just a veteran – backup, mentor, bridge guy, right? I'd like to see, and I think that there's tons of room here for them to bring in a quarterback via free agency or via trade that actually has some upside. And the idea of football rehab and the idea of putting him with Sean Payton and actually tapping in to the potential that made them so attractive coming out of college. So my top three, and I'll go in reverse order. Number three would be Jameis Winston. I know you're rolling your eyes. There goes the eye roll. God, you have the most exaggerated eye roll. Jameis Winston, there's still a lot of talent there that I think, and Sean has worked with him before, and Sean already had some positive results with Jameis. So I put Jameis number three. Number two, I'd put Sam Howell. Number two, because you can tell he's got a lively arm. You can tell that there's some attitude there. There's some guts.
Mm-hmm.
And my number one choice, don't laugh, Zach Wilson. There's a reason why Zach Wilson went as high as he did. So clearly the talent is there. You yourself have said that guy has got a live arm.
Yeah, he does.
Live arm. And he has mobility. There's a ton to work with, but he was overdrafted. Huh. Stop me when you've heard that before. Yet another example of a guy who was overdrafted, thrown into a situation he wasn't ready for. And he certainly was given no favors with the coaching he had in New York. I mean, come on, Nathaniel Hackett was his offensive coordinator last year. Cue the clown music. And I like the idea of bringing him here, putting him with a guy like Sean Payton, seeing if he could tap into all that talent. People are saying, hey, go trade for Justin Fields because of all that talent and potential. I say the same thing about Zach Wilson. There's equally the same amount of talent and potential, and I'd say there's more of it because I think Zach Wilson has a better chance to become a win-from-the-pocket quarterback than Justin Fields does. So, yeah, here's my guy, Zach Wilson.
I guess I just have
go
this.
Go trade for him. Let's
I guess I just have this fear.
Come on.
That I show up after calling a game. Fox rolling into the kitchen. It's like 9:30. Zach Wilson standing there eating out of my fridge going, oh yeah, I rented a room downstairs.
Mrs. S invited me in.
Yeah. Hey, come on. I rented a room downstairs. I just don't trust him. I don't trust Zach Wilson.
Hey. What do you think about it? Come on. Do I make a compelling enough case?
He is. Yeah,
you were buying the idea of Sam Darnold because of the football rehab that he had with Kyle Shanahan. So let's just kind of extrapolate a little bit. Sam Darnold, overdrafted by the Jets, put into a very untenable position with the Jets, got bad coaching, didn't work out, was a bust, goes to San Francisco, works with a respected offensive guy in Kyle Shanahan, gets a year of football rehab, and then becomes pretty coveted out there on the free agent market. Why can't Zach Wilson, overdrafted by the Jets, failed by the Jets, go work with a guy like Sean Payton,
right,
get the same kind of rehab, and then
leave for somebody else?
Or you see
Baker Mayfield him.
Well, no. In this case, you probably don't have maybe a Brock Purdy type blocking you, and you found yourself a guy.
But if you go on Zach Wilson on strictly a rehab, then you're still going to draft the guy. And that guy that you draft is still going to be the guy that you try to promote.
Not if you draft him in the second round or
but
third
if you,
round.
You're not going into the season. This is where, again, you fail to use logic. You're not going into the season with Stidham and Zach Wilson.
Why not? And then draft a quarterback in the day two or day three? Why not?
Because you don't have there's no bridge there.
Well, if you don't love a guy in the first round, I don't want Sean Payton to force it. And remember what we're talking about here. We're talking, you understand, don't you, that these guys that were supposedly all salivating over, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, mm-hmm. Drake May, you know that there is a very, very, very good chance that 3 years from now, they'll be Zach Wilson. Or they'll be Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
So, you can get Zach Wilson for a mid-round pick, probably a fifth-round pick. Let's do it.
Mm.
I get it. He doesn't have that new car smell, right? You know,
yeah.
Zach Wilson got driven off the lot. He immediately depreciated. I get all that.
By the way, on the text line, this is a great point. No more Wilsons.
Hey, if he can wear number 3, all of a sudden that jersey, you don't have to burn it. Keep it. Get some value.
Has Drew Lock signed with somebody? Somebody on the text line said he thought he saw something that Drew Lock just signed a 1-year deal with Minnesota. Maybe he got duped.
No, why would he have signed with Minnesota? Now, the only news of today, I'm going with Shefty. Adam Jones, an hour ago, signed with the Vikings. Let me quickly check Ian Rappaport. Let me just check in all these guys. No, I don't think so.
Stop the cap.
Nope.
Drew Lock.
Nope. Drew Lock's still out there. So, there you go. Zach Wilson. If you're going to go after a day two free agent or trade for a quarterback, I'd go for Zach Wilson. Because at least if you're going to make a move, do so with the idea that you're...
So you're out on Drew Lock.
I like Drew.
Because you went with...
I just don't know.
What did you go with? Winston?
Winston.
Howell. And Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Winston, Howell, and Wilson.
Winston.
Wow. Wilson, Howell, and Winston.
Oh, sure.
Wilson, Howell, and Winston. Yes, it sounds like a law
firm. The law firm.
Wilson, Winston, and Howell. How about that?
Wilson, Winston, and Howell.
All right. What? Time now to hit the hardwood, brought to you by Papa Murphy's as the Nuggets. Boy, it was a couple of strange games of late. You know, they lose to Phoenix. Big turn of ebb and flow in that game. Then you got the Utah game where they dominate in the first half. They build a 34-point lead. They give most of it back, and then they even go on to win by 21, and Michael Malone's all unhappy and ripping into his team. Last night, they actually come out really, really flat in the game. After an even first quarter, they end up falling behind. They're down by as much as 22 before roaring back in the second half. And after this one, instead of being mad, Michael Malone was actually handing out bouquets.
Do I like the fact that we didn't play at all in the first half? No. But I'm really proud of, you know, our guys having the courage to not let go and just go, all right, let's get ready for Miami. We stayed with it. And there was never any panic, which is what I loved about it as well.
Says this is the hallmark of this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to been there, done that. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the one thing, if you've never been down 20 and come back and won, you'd be like, oh, can we really do this? There's a little bit of doubt there. For our guys, I don't think there's any doubt at all. I think we know that we're always within striking distance when we defend as well as I know we can. And then offensively, we're capable of putting up big, big numbers in a hurry.
I don't want to call it a red flag, but does it put up some kind of flag that coming off a post game against Utah in which he really ripped his team, stormed off the podium after it was all said and done, that their response to what Malone had to say was to fall behind by 22 points in the first half?
I know. I don't think there was like some mutiny, like, let's show him. I mean, they played great in the first quarter, and then the second quarter, they just like rolled over. A couple things happened. Now, Olynyk was knocking down three-pointers and some other guys were hitting shots. So, I mean, that was part of the deal, but no, I don't look at it like that. I mean, I think obviously it wasn't very good, Mike. Like that part is, there's no question. So, but I still think from that standpoint, they had a lapse. He said the only difference was they just didn't play hard. Barrett had 26. I mean, they knocked down some shots in that second quarter.
when you're the defending champs and you have a bullseye on your back, you're going to get everybody's best shot. And even the worst teams in the NBA, if you decide not to play for a quarter,
right,
they're going to take advantage of it. They're going to put together a run on you. And so it's a good lesson to learn, but the good news is that once you get to the playoffs and once you get deeper into the playoffs, guess what? There's no bullseye on your back because you're sniffing it as well as everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
You're just as hungry to go win another one as everyone else is to win their first one. So if you could just, because didn't you guys feel that way when you were going for back-to-back? Did you felt the bullseye every week.
Yes.
But did you feel it kind of went away in the playoffs? Because now all of a sudden you're like, you're hunting the same thing everyone else is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once you get to the playoffs, everybody's good. Everybody that you play is they're not as good as us, but they're as good. That's why it always makes me laugh when people say, you know, that 98 season, boy, you guys have been in trouble if you played Minnesota. No, we wouldn't. Would have whipped that ass, too. So,
well, they were very high scoring that year.
And don't care.
I mean, you did.
How'd they score against Atlanta in the NFC Championship game?
I know, but come on. Minnesota would have won.
Of course we would have.
But you got a nice draw with Atlanta.
You know, we played
Minnesota would have put up a better fight in that game.
We played them in 96. And we had, you know, I mean, we had a couple of guys out, myself included, injury wise, and we still beat in Minnesota. Yeah, we would have.
I'm hard, dog.
Would have whipped that ass. Yeah, we would have.
You would have won.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have won as easily as you beat Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, not as come on, that easily team, that team as we had, beat Atlanta.
That team had. What was it? Was Culpepper the quarterback?
Who?
For Minnesota. Was it Dante Culpepper? Was it Culpepper and they had Chris Carter, Moss?
Yeah. Was it Culpepper?
I think it was Culpepper. I think it was.
It might have been.
Anyway, I'll look that up. That would have been what, the 98 Vikings?
98 Vikings.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, they had some offensive talent now. Don't kid yourself.
All I know is...
And they had John Randall.
All I know is you guys...
That's scary.
You guys played the second game that day, right? You and the Jets, that was the... Was that a morning? Was that the first game? No, that would have been the second game. So we were watching the end of the Viking game.
Randall Cunningham, yeah.
Oh, it was Cunningham, okay. Yeah, we were watching that game at the end of... in the press box at the Old Mile High before your game.
Uh-huh.
And the general consensus was, wow, that was a major upset.
Yeah.
That was a major upset, Atlanta knocking off Minnesota.
It was a major upset.
So, you know, hey, you don't have to apologize for who you beat.
No. We'd had a great, you know what?
You would have won it. Yeah, you guys would have
We'd have out-game-planned them anyhow. I mean, what we did to Green Bay game plan-wise, what we did to Atlanta game plan, like, you know, that's where coaching matters. Like, Mike Shanahan put together offensive game plans that were like, just brilliant. I mean, brilliant in their simplicity and the fact that here's 100% tell, and this is what we're going to, and it's like stealing.
Papa Murphy's, home of Take and Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Let me give you a recommendation. After a long, hard day of work today, you don't feel like cooking, you don't feel like going out, just pick up a Papa Murphy's pizza, pop it in the oven. Delicious. They are really, really good.
Yeah, grab some of that cookie dough, too.
We've been enjoying Papa Murphy's for like 20 years now. Always been a big go-to in the Evans household, so recommend it. Big go-to in the Schlereth household, especially now that Zach Wilson's going to be living in the basement.
That's right. We need extra food.
Coming up next, what's next for the Broncos? Where do they go with all of a sudden flush with cash? As we'll give you the latest on that next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto-pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' big story of the day.
Funny, sister, you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
I just want to know if the fearmongers out there, you know, the James Merrillats, the Will Petersons, who else? I don't know. Was Zach a fearmonger?
I gotta be careful
with Zach because Zach gets very sensitive.
He'll get off.
He took me out of context again.
He'll come off the top rope.
This is not a drill.
He'll come off the. He's a wrestling guy.
Yes.
He'll come off the top rope.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for Zach, but all the fearmongering about, oh, you can't just cut Russell Wilson. It's gonna hamstring this football team. They're not gonna be able to put a roster together. You might as well keep Russ rather than taking the dead cap.
Yeah, that's dumb.
And meanwhile, I tried to tell you, I've been telling you for 2 years now, if people are paying attention, we knew that the salary cap was going to go up significantly. It did, $30 million, so that takes a big chunk out of it. And then it's the NFL cap. It's contracts. By the way, these same contracts that the pearl clutchers out there were so adamant in defending when Russell Wilson potentially threatened with benching if he did not rework his contract or push back an injury guarantee. Everybody was upset about that. Poor Russ. What are you doing to poor Russ? Meanwhile, have you seen what's been going on? Guys are just being cut. Guys are being told to restructure. Ben Powers and Zach Allen for the Broncos just restructured their contracts today, freeing up another $20 million of cap space. They now have $40 million of cap space. Think about this. If I had told you back when the fearmongers, Mark, were out there saying, you can't cut Russ, it's going to put you in salary cap jail. If I had told you at that moment to the fearmongers, relax, going into day two of free agency, the Broncos are going to have the ninth most cap space available to spend. What would people have said then?
They wouldn't have believed you.
No.
No, they were too, scared.
They were too busy fear-mongering.
Yeah.
That's what fear-mongers do. They monger.
Too busy clutching their pearls.
Right.
Yeah, it's that part was silly.
Bless you.
Sorry about that. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So they sit here now. Even though we've got money, plenty of money, we don't have what you would call a QB.
We don't have what you call an attractive situation.
Right.
For the texter who says, what do you guys who like to hang from Sean Payton Jarbles have to say about Darnold picking Kevin O'Connell over grumpy old Sean?
Yeah, no, did he pick apparently, Kevin O'Connell or did he pick... Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, Addison, and, oh, by the way, now Jones.
Yeah, Aaron Jones now,
come
too.
Come on. Like, that's so stupid. Stop it. He didn't pick Sean. He picked Kevin O'Connell. No, he picked the team that gives him the best chance with the best weapons.
So, Texter, you're saying that if Sean Payton was coaching the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell was coaching here.
Yeah, how dumb is that?
Sam Darnold picks the Broncos over Sean Payton.
Right. I don't want to go to Sean Payton, not with Justin Jefferson and Hockenson and Addison and Jones. I'd rather go to Denver.
That's not how you do football.
Yeah. God, like the things that people actually think sometimes just shock me.
People reacting to my number one Zach Wilson choice. From Paul, I'm 100% with Evans. Barf. Evans, weren't you the guy always bashing the fan base for wanting to ride with Drew because of potential? Now you want someone with potential. Flip-flop much?
No.
Well, when you have nothing right now at the quarterback position, Here's what I want from the Broncos, and I don't know why more teams, well, I know why more teams don't do this, because for some reason they're so worried that they're going to hurt a quarterback's feelings or confidence by actually making them compete for a job.
Right.
Why is it that every other position in football, there's competition, but a quarterback, there can be no competition. You have to anoint a guy. I want the Broncos just to be a quarterback development factory. Have four or five guys, quarterbacks on their roster. I don't care. More the merrier. And let them compete. And so from that standpoint, yeah, I'm all about bringing in guys with potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, texters coming strong. Obviously, a 6 a.m. texter said, hey, that take about Sam Darnold choosing Kevin O'Connell over Sean Payton, that's an 8 a.m. texter. It's a good point. It's a good point.
Love Zach Wilson, Mike. Get him, win two games, and go after Shador next year. Okay. Maybe that happens, sure. Mike, stop. Just stop.
Get some help.
But.
Stop it. Get some help.
But you understand, for all of you who are bashing me on the idea of Zach Wilson, you're probably the same people who are salivating at the idea of J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix. They're the same people.
Yeah, the difference for me is I would love to see Zach Wilson go somewhere and get coached. Like Sam Darnold did. I guess what you're saying is, well, he can come here and get coached.
Yes. Can we all agree these quarterbacks? Can we all agree these quarterbacks get overdrafted?
Yes. Okay. Can I say this though? My whole Drew Lock thing is, the dude got coached.
Yeah.
Right. They wanted him in Tampa. So when Dave Canales went to Tampa to be the OC from Seattle as the quarterback coach, he tried to bring Drew instead of Baker Mayfield to Tampa Bay. That was his first choice. And Drew decided to stick in Seattle and stay with Shane Waldron and get another year in the same offense. Remember, Drew Lock never was in the same offense, not one year at Missouri, and here, not in the same offense.
Mark, if Drew Lock had never played for the Denver Broncos and had gone through what he just went through in Seattle, I'd be really excited about the idea. I'd be intrigued by Drew Lock. Do I have to let go of the fact that I went through the Drew Lock experience once, mm-hmm. and it's staying with me. It's like a stale fart in an elevator. Yeah. It's just there, and I can't escape it. Like, should I let that go? Do I need to let that go? Does all of Broncos country need to let that go? Is this guy a completely different guy?
Well, it depends on whose fart it is. If it's your fart in the elevator.
Good point.
You're like, wow,
I just turned this.
That is hot box.
I just turned this elevator into a Dutch oven, man.
You're just like
in a basket.
Wow, that's got some depth.
A little
to it.
Creepy.
It's a little sticky.
Hey, don't mock me. You all know what we're talking about.
But if it's somebody else's fart,
then it's disgusting.
You're just like,
get me out of here.
It's got to be your fart.
Yes, that's true. Look, man,
I'm joking.
The man speaks the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Do we have to?
Yeah. If you
let that go?
If you could embrace Drew as your fart,
yes,
then you just got. That's how you've got to look at it. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that?
I can't. Sorry, yeah. Drew's somebody else's fart.
Yeah.
See how we break it all down for you? Nobody, and I mean nobody, breaks down sports like we do. I don't want Drew. He's somebody else's fart.
Drew's a stray fart in the elevator. Boom. We covered it.
Done.
We got it.
That's all. There's no other way to explain it.
Yeah.
There's no other way to explain it. Hey, could Cinderella and March Madness be coming tonight before the tournament even starts? That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Say congratulations. Worked so hard, forgot how to vacation.
On the surface, this seems like a minor free agent signing, but it could have ripple effects for the Broncos. So Adam Schefter, our ESPN Bronco insider, NFL insider reporting that Marcus Mariota is signed with the Washington Commanders on a one-year deal, base value of $6 million, upside up to $10 million. Sam Howell is there. Washington has the number two pick in the draft. So I connect the dots as Mariota being brought in to be the bridge slash mentor quarterback, although do you really want Marcus Mariota to be mentoring a young player? More on that in a second. But, and that makes Sam Howell now, it's clear that they're going to move him. Because it's the same thing I talk about with the Broncos and their pursuit of Sam Darnold. It makes absolutely no sense to have Sam Darnold, Jarrett Stidham, and pick a quarterback in the first round. It's just, because you know that quarterback is going to be playing sooner rather than later if you pick him in the first round. So you're either going to sign Sam Darnold, if that worked out, and cut Jarrett Stidham because you're drafting a quarterback in the first round.
No, you need three quarterbacks.
Or you're going to... No, you don't need three.
Well, then of course you do.
You can have Ben DiNucci as your emergency third-string quarterback.
But wouldn't you rather have a guy who's played some and is still got the potential of development, a guy that you really think that might have an ability to come in and play and actually help you win games? I mean, what?
Paying him $5 million
to be your
Stidham?
So what?
No.
So, Mike, $5 million is, that is.
So you think Washington.
Changing the couch cushions.
So you think Washington's plan is to keep Howell. They just signed Mariota and they're going to draft, let's say, Jaden Daniels, number two overall.
Well, there's a difference between drafting a guy number two overall and drafting a guy at 12. Because the guy at 12 probably should be a second or third rounder, and you're moving, and the quarterbacks are getting flushed up into the top of the draft.
He's still going to play his rookie year, though.
Why?
You think Bo Nix, who's approaching 30, dude's going to be like getting his AARP card very, very soon. You really think you're going to draft him at 12 and then sit on him for a year? Guy's played like 9 years of college football. Yeah, he's either ready or he's not.
Yeah, you can't do that because, I mean, that would be like, I don't know, drafting Mahomes at 10 and sitting on him for a year. Who would do that? Something stupid like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. If the Broncos were 12-5 this past year and they drafted a quarterback at 12, I'd be fine.
The record has nothing to do with it.
Of course it does.
It shouldn't. It does. It shouldn't have anything to do with the development of your quarterback.
If the Chiefs were 4-12 and had drafted Patrick Mahomes, does he sit for a full year?
And they still have a legit starting quarterback in Alex Smith?
Well, is he a legit starting quarterback if he just went 4-12? I'm saying they just went 4-12. I don't care who the quarterback is. All right, it's Alex Smith.
I don't care. I don't care.
Well, you have to consider that.
But no, you don't. Because now you know what? You're doing exactly what you complain about all the time. The herd mentality of the National Football League. The herd mentality says, oh, well, got to play him. We were 4 wins. Mm-hmm. Got to play him. No, you know what you need to do? You need to develop him. What's the best path to develop a guy? Listen, you're already in. You've had 8 crap seasons.
You're shifting the narrative to try to make your point, but like
I'm not shifting.
Everyone's like, "Wow, Jordan Love clearly benefited from not playing right away." Okay, Aaron Rodgers was ahead of him. Patrick Mahomes really benefited from not playing from a year. Well, Alex Smith, who went 12-4, was ahead of him. You know, Tom Brady didn't play his rookie year. I think it really helped him. Drew Bledsoe, who was the number one overall pick in New England, was ahead of him. So it's not like these guys were either drafted into situations where the team was bad, or they didn't have a clear-cut number one quarterback already. Here in Denver, there's none of that. There's no clear-cut number one quarterback. They're not coming off of a winning season. Mm-hmm. So if you draft a quarterback, especially knowing Sean Payton, famous words at the combine, I think we're going to be better at this than everybody else, and that's what I'm kind of counting on.
Yeah.
You think if he anoints, because that's what he'd be doing. He'd be anointing a guy as his guy that he's in love with at number 12. You think that guy's going to cool his heels for a full year?
Well,
no way.
Okay, well, let me just say this. If it's J.J. McCarthy, no, I don't think he will. Why do you think all these quarterbacks fail?
Because they're overdrafted. And they're put into situations that they're not ready for.
Exactly. You know why they're put in situations they're not ready for? Because college football in today's landscape does not prepare them to be good in the NFL. So, I mean, it comes down, why do I think Sam Darnold is going to be good this year in Minnesota? Because he's gone through the requisite growing pains, and he actually got coached up by a
coach.
You
think Sam Darnold's going to be their quarterback all year?
You know, in Minnesota?
In Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Really? What if they draft a quarterback in the first round? What if they pick one at 11? What if they move up to take J.J. McCarthy? You think Sam Darnold's going to play the whole year?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Unless he gets injured, obviously. State?
No. No, I know. But we're not even talking about injury.
Okay. That's but I doubt.
Bold strategy. Cotton.
I know that Kliss said they're going to take a quarterback. I don't think they'll take a quarterback. I don't think they're moving up or they'll take one at 11. Now, they may take one later on in the draft. I don't know what their draft capital looks like. But I think they're going full Baker Mayfield on them.
By the way, this is just my opinion. The whole idea that, you know, these quarterbacks, the only reason that they turn out to be busts is because they just weren't coached properly. I don't buy that. There have been plenty of quarterbacks that have been thrown in there feet first and have been able to figure it out. I think if you're going to be one of those elite franchise quarterbacks that everyone's searching for, if you are given a year to marinate or you're thrown in to the deep end right away, you're going to figure it out and you're going to come out positive on the other end.
No, I don't agree with that.
Really?
Yeah.
So of all the quarterbacks that bust, careful, Mark, because you're giving the drafted quarterback, any quarterback in the first round, people, you're giving them some fodder here. So you're saying that every quarterback that busts, and there's like a 80% bust rate with quarterbacks mm-hmm. taken high up in the first round, how many of them would have been great quarterbacks if they were just either allowed to sit for a year or been in a different situation?
I think a lot of them still would have busted, but I think your overall record would be better. It would be less busts. For sure, but I mean, I heard this analogy the other day. It was the clay pot. Have you ever heard the clay pot analogy?
No.
I heard this on some podcast, I would like to credit it, but I don't remember what I was watching, okay? But there was two classes. One assignment for one pottery class was, I want you to make the perfect pot. All you're going to work on the entirety of the semester is one pot, and it's got to be the perfect pot. And the other class was, I want you to make as many pots as possible, 10, 15 a day. And at the end of the semester, what was the result? That the class that made multiple pots every day made better pots and more consistent pots than the one class that was considered, or one class that was tasked with just making one perfect pot. Why? Because the failure rate. They learned how to make pots, and then every pot they made was better than the one pot guy. And to me, you've got to learn it. And the problem is, it's like the Sam Howell situation. You got put into a place where you were learning on the job, but at what point do you, quote unquote, see ghosts? At what point do you get so beat down that you lose confidence? At what point do you get to the point where, like, wow, you know, I think there's value in growing a guy.
So if the Broncos, let me make sure I'm clear on this. If the Broncos take a quarterback in the first round, you're going to be advocating that that quarterback sit for a year.
Depends on who he is. Do they move up to four and grab J.J. McCarthy?
If it's J.J. McCarthy.
If it's J.J. McCarthy because he has called an actual NFL offense, because he has changed strengths, because he has not been static in formations, because he's the only guy in this draft class that actually operates pre-snap at the line of scrimmage and huddles, then I would say, yeah, you put him, but there's still going to be a ton of growing pains.
If it's Bo Nix?
Bo Nix, to me, would benefit sitting for a while. Remember, Steve Young's a Hall of Famer. He was an absolute bust in Tampa.
Boy, that would be fun to watch. You tell Broncos country that has been starved for a quarterback, and Sean Payton anoints this guy as the guy that he loves, and then you tell Broncos country, we're going to put this guy on ice for several weeks, if not the entire season.
Hey,
I can't wait to hear the reaction of those fans.
Your pot thing is called the Edison approach.
By the way, real quick, I know we're going to break
Thank you, pot people.
So you were, I just figured I'd...
That may came out wrong. Thank you, pot people. Thank you, pottery people.
Hey, you're fine here.
Yeah.
I happened to Google Clay Pot Podcast. Did you know that there are actually a ranking of the 10 best pottery podcasts to follow
really?
In 2024? There's nice. A podcast for everything, and apparently there's a top 10 for pottery podcasts. So, number one, The Potter's Cast.
The Potter's Cast.
If that's your thing, check out the Potter's Cast podcast.
Now we're just going to put our hands on the clay, make sure they're good and moist. That's, dude, I'm really good at pottery. And I took a bunch of pottery in college.
Boy, that surprises me. A football player taking a pottery class.
Dude, I could spin that wheel.
Really? Is there, all right, coming up, I want you to give me a pottery term that only a pottery expert would know.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's coming up. Plus, what is in store for day two of free agency for the Broncos? Do they get a quarterback today? And who do you hope it is? That's next.